Welcome to a special edition of What's On Joe Mine. I'm Gary. This podcast is a little different than others. Basically, this is our first clip show, so to speak. What we'll have here in the first segment is from What's On Joe Mine friend James Cavanaugh Jr. as he interviews the first group of folks who are lining up hours before the opening of the 2011 Canadian G.I. Joe convention. When we're finished with that segment, we'll fast forward in time to the morning of the con, where I am joined by my regular co-host, Greg, and Canadian JoeCon staffer Ryan, a.k.a. Scramble, as we talk to him about the start of the convention, and we get an opportunity to interview Tristan Rudat about his new G.I. Joe documentary, Codename Blastoff. Part 3 of the recording will be in our afternoon session with P-Lev John to talk about JoeCustoms.com, and we get some more insider info on a 2011 Canadian JoeCon set from staffers Morgany Dave, Stealth Viper Ed, and some closing comments from our host, the Mike himself. So sit back, relax, and prepare to get a taste of what it's like at a con, Canadian style, tonight on this special edition of What's On Joe Mine.
All right, we're gonna record this. Gary, you can edit out as need fit.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is James Cavanaugh standing in on the super-duper awesome What's On Joe Mine podcast. And we're here outside the Canadian Joe Convention in the line waiting for exclusives. Everybody want to say hi?
Hi!
Everybody ready for the most awesome set ever that's come out of this Canadian Joe Convention? All right, I like it. We're all pumped up. Oh, man. So let me ask, you two are in the front of the line. How long exactly have you two been here? Yeah, name,
day one.
Names and what? Day one? You've been waiting out here since last year? You know, I mean, I was going to say, I was here. Were you?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name, if you don't mind me asking?
Patricia?
All right, what time did you start waiting in line for this particular convention?
Midnight.
Midnight. Wow. Right on, you're a trooper. What's your name?
10 to 11, sir? Ray.
Yeah. Ray?
Yeah.
And the 10 to 11?
Yeah.
Yep. So now, are you technically in front?
10 to 11.
Yeah.
Or did she kind of? Well, okay, you two are in together. Okay, right on.
It's not a visual program.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, every day I'm hustling. You know, I mean, you got to get in there. And what's your name, sir?
Brian.
Brian.
Yeah.
And what time did you clock in to this
midnight.
Fine event?
Midnight,
okay, midnight.
About 10 after, yeah.
Nice. I love it. No, I think last year when I was waiting in line, I got in about 1:30 in the morning. I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Wow.
Oh, it was a trip.
Wow.
I missed it.
Were you playing Monopoly last year?
I was indeed playing Monopoly. I was trying to play Monopoly. Let's put it that way, you know. I think I was the first one to lose, but you'll have that. But I won a 2010 convention set. You know, that's all that matters. For a nominal fee, of course. You know? What about you two? How long have you two been in line?
Since 10:30.
10:30?
12.
Okay, 12:30. All right. Who traveled the furthest so far?
Traveled 13 kilometers.
30 kilometers?
13.
13 kilometers. Why don't you rub it in some more?
Kilometer.
How far is a kilometer? What are you doing to me, man? What was it? 100 kilometers is 60 miles an hour, according to my...
Right.
So,
according to the officer that pulled me over.
Well, yeah. I can't drive 55 either, kilometers or miles, you know.
Stop, you gotta go.
But, I know. I gotta get in line for my G.I. Joe convention figures.
You said 100, I can't help it if my vehicle's so old it's a mile per hour.
Well, exactly, you know.
You can't miss it.
Jimmy Carter were so wrong.
There was a point where I really wanted to hit 100 miles an hour. I'm not joking. I think that's what 140 kilometers or something like that.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, right on. Who's your favorite figure in the set?
We don't know who's in the set.
What?
We looked on the website.
I'm here for my little guy. Yeah. I don't know that much.
Nothing.
They asked the questions earlier, and that's what we were like.
He wasn't.
If my kid was here, yeah.
That's awesome.
What's
that's
in previous years? Sleeping in his nice
previous years. Who was your favorite figure from the last couple years' sets?
There was a.
Silence.
What was the name of it? The plane?
That's it. Pleading the fifth. Pleading the sixth. Where'd that extra finger come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, right on. Why don't we move on down the line and see what all the rest of these characters up. That's all right. Well, you know what?
All right, we got. Ooh.
That's all right. Well, somebody's all decked out. I really wish we had some video for the podcast on this. I'm jealous. Okay, we've got video on the side. Right on. Hey!
Oh,
didn't mean to wake you. You know, we're doing a podcast for What's on Joe Mine. Have anything to offer? Doing a podcast?
What's on Joe Mine?
It's a G.I. Joe online radio show for all intents and purposes.
What are you talking about?
What's on Joe's mind? Apparently, sleep is what's on Joe's mind. How about you two? How's it going? Do you have any, would you like to contribute to the podcast at all? Or?
Nothing sleepy.
Nothing sleepy? All right. Well, don't. You gotta watch all these characters, man. I've done these lines a couple times. You know, you don't want to go too much asleep, because next thing you know, you'll be back there, and they'll be all around. You know what I mean? Trying to get you. You'll be all right, though. I'll keep an eye out for them. You know. How about you guys? How's it going? You mind having anything to say from What's on Joe Mind podcast?
What's on Joe Mind?
Tell us what's on Joe Mind's.
Joe Mind's on my mind is sleep right now, to be honest.
Right on. Right on. How far did you guys travel, if you don't mind me asking real quick?
From Vaughn. Thornhill.
Okay. Yeah. Where's that? I'm not going to lie. I'm from the States. 12 minutes?
Like 20 minutes.
Wow, 20 minutes. I got lost for about 20 minutes around these here parts, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. No, we got some snuggle bunnies over here. That's cool. You know, you got to do what you got to do. What about you guys? How's it going? Would you like to say hi to What's on Joe Mind?
Yeah,
the podcast?
Still waiting for the time, you know.
Still waiting? Yeah. Okay. What time is it now, do you know?
4:30.
4:30. All right.
Yeah, I think two guys should go.
Oh, we should go.
No.
Is that a hint or a suggestion?
No.
He said 3 hours ago.
Oh, okay, 3 hours ago. I was gonna say I've got some cologne in the car. If there's a problem, you know, I mean, it happens to the best of us, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my axe stinks. I can't help that, you know. I think that was a problem long before I got in here. Well, how far did you guys travel? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm just coming from Malton. You know, it's probably 1 hour drive from there.
1 hour drive. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. You know.
Nice. Have you been? Have you guys been here before? This is the first one.
Yeah.
Excellent. You guys will have a lot of fun. I'm not gonna lie. Well, I put my time in.
Yeah,
you know, again, from I drive 8 hours from the States and all that jazz. And last year I didn't even show up with it. Yes, I had like a T-shirt on. I'm out here freezing. You know, it's one of 50 serpent armors, and I wanted them. You know, I mean, you'll have that. So, well, who's your favorite figure out of the set?
You tell him.
What?
Come on, man. Why do you wait for him? Tell him.
You're waiting. You're waiting for the surprise.
Previous years. What's previous years?
Previous years figure. Have you checked any of those out?
No.
Okay. How long you guys been collecting G.I. Joes? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, my younger brother. You know, he's
the last 24 hours.
All for the younger brother. Man, I'm bummed. I'm the oldest child in my family, so I did not have any, you know what I mean, anybody that I could connive into waiting up all night for some really cool toys. You know, maybe I should readjust my policies here and try to figure it out. Well, right on, you know. Would you like to say hi to What's on Joe Mind, G.I. Joe podcast?
Dinner with this guy. He's
sure.
From a
okay.
He's from ways away.
Oh, right on. Where are you from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey? Okay, nice. Another fellow statesman. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. I'm James. What's your name?
Michael.
Michael? Excellent. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Who's who are you excited for any figure in particular from this set?
Honestly, just the set as a whole, because, I mean, there's no single... I mean, maybe Captain Ruin, my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. He looks fun as well, you know. Now, are you... And Mike's going to be mad at this, from what I understand, but are you a particularly an Undertaker fan, or...?
No, I'm not actually a wrestling fan at all.
Well, Mike loves wrestling, and a lot of people think that the inspiration from Captain Ruin is The Undertaker, but that's a big no-no to say in front of him. You know, it's apparently a completely new sculpt, as well as many other figures.
Right, from Slayer Designs, is that correct?
Yeah, from what I understand, but I'm not going to lie, I'm a little out of the loop on that.
Okay.
I've been too busy trying to cross the border and deal with all that jazz. How far is the drive from New Jersey to here?
I don't know. I flew.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, rub it in. I didn't. You know, I didn't take the suggestion.
Well, I had to sweat it out because there was an Air Canada strike that ended about, like, 12 hours before on my flight, so I was a little worried about that.
Was that involved with the Stanley Cup or something? Like that?
No.
I know. And I say that.
We should let everyone know we are completely safe out here.
No, everyone from
Vancouver is right. Not here in Toronto.
Well, no. I say that because. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, despite the ominous sign that's standing right in front of us about like vehicle break-ins. So.
As I understand it, the Air Canada had some issues. They had some weather issues during a game. Is it 6 or whatever? When they had the transport, Air Canada readjusted some of their flights to accommodate the getting the Stanley Cup to Boston.
Wow.
Yeah, and which is amazing in its own right. And I thought, obviously, you know, the moment you would. You change anything up like that, that there would be some repercussions. I thought maybe you'd fall in suit.
No, fortunately not.
Also known as that has nothing to do with our favorite hobby, G.I. Joe action figures, now does it?
No, it's okay.
Right on. Well, then, while I'm talking to you, I haven't really asked, how long have you been collecting?
Since basically the birth of the Sunbow animated series in 1983.
Okay. Oh, wow. So who, if you were to name off some of your top 3 or 4 or 5 figures, who would you say?
Let's see, being a pencil neck geek with a degree in chemistry, Airtight's one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Let's see, Lifeline. Let's see, who else is a good one? I would say Mercer.
Excellent.
It's 4:15 in the morning. So,
what year was that guy released?
Who, Mercer?
4:15 in the morning.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. We'll add in the sound effects later on for all that. Well, right on.
Is there post production of this?
There will be.
There better be. Let's put it that way. You know, this dip shooting from the hip. You know. Well, right on. Well, it's definitely good to meet you, and I'll see you inside tomorrow. And thanks for contributing to What's on Joe Mind.
Are you selling your RACH guide?
Oh, I am. You are.
You want to pimp your own?
Well, why not? You know, look at that for a transition. I think this guy has another hit in radio as well. Yes, I am. We'll be here. I'm a special guest. This is my first title. Awesome. Flattery will get you everywhere, you know? Or something like that. You know, I mean.
And how much is the book selling for?
It is $40 American or Canadian.
Nice. Okay.
Because they're pretty much the same exchange rate anyway.
Well, I remember us being online last year together, and you showing me a preview, and the pages I had seen were spectacular. So I'm looking forward to seeing the book as a whole.
Awesome. I'm really stoked. If you liked what you saw last year, I hope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can see how much.
Otherwise, everybody's been lying to me.
I saw how much meticulous detail you included in your guide. So, yeah, like I said, I'm looking for, because like it's an era that was truly like neglected so far by authors, and in a way even like by Hasbro. It's almost like like the redheaded stepchild. So, but it still has like a few gems in there. So, and I think that I'm sure your guide is going to show that.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's got all the good ones and the bad, and you're right, it was a learning curve for Hasbro to catapult us into the third generation, if you're into that. I like the third, the swivel chest, 25th anniversary on up style, uh-huh. Good, I'm really stoked that you liked it, man.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And like I tell everybody, I got a square jaw. If you don't like something, I can, don't hesitate to tell me, I can take it,
No problem.
I can take the punch, but.
Okay.
Well, all right, bud. Definitely, I'll
nice
see you inside
meeting you.
Tomorrow. Absolutely.
Thanks for interviewing.
No problem. Thanks for just kind of came to the line right here.
Yeah, let's go in. Oh. That's your back. Let's go in. You mind talking to What's on Joe Mind? No?
No.
Leaning's on What's is on Mind. I'm a fan. You mind saying hi to What's on Joe Mind, G.I. Joe podcast?
No, I'm not interested, sorry.
No interest at all? All right. He's too anxious for the figures. I don't blame him,
Yeah.
You got to concentrate. Stay warm, bud. You take it easy. Well, all right. Well, I guess we said hi to everybody. It's, what is it, 4:15, 4:20 in the morning?
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe that's why there's not too many other people in the line. It's 4:20, Maybe we should go around back and see the other 50 people, Get a little, wah, wah. No, just kidding. I got to get across the border in one piece, and move on with my life. Peter Pan's too old to play in Never Never Land. So good. I mean, it's a pretty, even keel crowd. I mean, it's an average 4:15 in the morning, I mean, we're out here, we're having fun, we're anxious for our sets. I mean, it's, I can feel the energy. You know, it's always that mixture of a stoic
totally
and yet
energized.
Yeah, I mean everybody's
half
energized.
The crowd
but
here can't name one figure in this year's set.
Well, you know, I mean. I'm not gonna lie, you know, I kind of composed myself. You know, I really wanted that blast of Canadian exclusive excellence. I did get my blast, and it was blastacular. If you want to sit there and say blast for the next 5 minutes,
all right, well,
but no, you know blast. Blast. But I mean, the moment I opened up the box, you know, and saw the entire set as a whole, all right there in my face. This is my set. You know, that I'll have for the end of days. It was great. You know, it's another excellent, you know, outstanding, cohesive set put together by the gang. I mean, you can tell the meticulous efforts there, and I can't wait to see everybody tomorrow morning when they pick up their sets, and the praise and the reception is phenomenal. I guarantee you everybody will be ecstatic. Good. I mean, they'll all have their game faces on. Don't get me wrong; they got to run a show, you know. But you can see they might—they'll crack a smile if you really watch them, you know. So stay tuned. Tomorrow it's it, you know. Peace out, homie. What's on Joe Mine? Indeed.
Bye.
Bye. And welcome to a special Canadian JoeCon edition of What's on Joe Mine. Joining me here is my regular co-host Greg.
Hello.
And the man known as the voice of the Canadian JoeCon. He is also the face of the Canadian JoeCon when you see him on TV.
I have been on TV several times talking about G.I. Joe.
It's Ryan, otherwise known as Scramble. Ryan, thanks for hosting us for this event today.
I feel like you guys are hosting me. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. We've talked about you on the program before, especially when it came to talking about Backstop.
I remember.
Yeah, let's talk about Backstop here real quick, and then your involvement with how it started from the Canadian Joe meet to where it is today, what you do now, and let's get your thoughts then on the set and then everything else itself.
All right, absolutely. Well, the short of it is Backstop rules.
He's from Montreal, right?
Backstop is from Montreal, and that is pretty much the main reason for the obsession. It was a toy I had as a kid because I didn't have too many vehicles, but I have three brothers, so we had a lot of the figures, but only a few vehicles. And the Persuader is one of the ones I have fond memories of as a kid. I remember having Backstop, and it was only when I got back into collecting in the late 90s that I realized that this figure that I'm very familiar with from my childhood was from my hometown, and not just on the Canadian file cards, but around the world. In the American release, the Argentina release, Backstop's always from Montreal. And so I acknowledge the colors aren't great.
It's awesome.
It's very vibrant. Anyway. They are not neon, but they are yellow-green.
Our other co-host, Justin, won't like it.
No. Justin told me he likes Backstop.
Okay. Wow, he might have just said that.
Ah, I don't like Justin anymore. No, I mean, I've always liked the parts. I acknowledge the color's not great, but it's a cool character, and I like the write-up. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, we actually managed to release the second official, officially sanctioned Backstop figure.
That's an awesome interpretation.
Yes.
Thank you.
The figure, yeah.
A lot of it, like the brown pants, were still the original Serpentor pants.
Mm-hmm.
They were just slightly dyed. We didn't go through the full dyeing process that we usually do for our figures. So there's a slight. It almost looks like a paint wash. But otherwise, yeah, it was hand painted by me purely out of love. I'm really not a customizer, but just
out
the
of
opportunity.
Love. All 100 of them. Out of love?
100 of them painted by me and assembled by my wife. She she
so both
glued
you
all the belts.
So both of you suffer from carpal tunnel.
No. She suffers from loving a Joe fan.
Oh, there you go. Another wife and loved one that supports a Joe hobby.
The Joe wives, we call them.
Yes.
They help us run the convention every year, and they do not get enough credit.
There's a lot of them around.
Well, we probably pull one of them over on the show, but they're too busy.
I think they get enough.
Yeah, they're too busy. No.
They've sacrificed enough
for
us.
Yeah, I've already seen Mike's wife shoot lasers out of her eyes once already today. No.
Oh, no. Denise is a lovely lady.
Hi, Denise.
Great haircut.
Hi, Denise. Hey,
say hi.
Hi.
And that's your interview with the Joe wives. So what's your role going? I mean, you obviously started kind of with the group that started with the original Canadian Joe meet.
I was not the original Canadian Joe.
You don't worry? Okay.
No, the original half-dozen guys. Now, like you said, I'm the voice, so when an announcement needs to be made, when we have to, you know, warm up the crowd that's waiting outside, I'm the guy that does it.
I thought it was mainly because in 09, you know, you had that French character, and you're the only one that could probably speak French.
Chacal Noir.
I'm like, a Chouac Noir? What? Yeah.
Actually named by Larry Hama.
That's awesome.
I have nothing to do with naming that character. but it directly translates to the Black Jackal.
Awesome. So other than that, you do the TV?
I do the TV. I do, like, as far as at the con, yeah. I'm voice, I'm face. I do a lot of the media relation stuff. With the sets, I'm mostly an ideas guy. I did do the backstop a couple years ago, and I did Mudslinger this year while I did the goggles.
Ah, we'll pull Mudslinger being out here. We have the set in front of us here.
That is not Mudslinger that you've got.
That one.
Yeah, there you go. He looks a lot better with the harness on, actually. But, yeah, so I painted up the goggles, and it was Morgardia that did the inner thighs. It was done in two separate cities, two separate times. But beyond that, I've written the... I've done the writing for the comics for the last 3 years for the set. The story's been by someone different every year. The first year was by Charles Raptor Cushman. Last year's story was by the Mike, and this year's story was by Morgardi. But I'm the one that actually does the dialogue and the scripting.
You also work on the newsletter, too, right?
I do the newsletter. Lately, I've been doing a regular segment called Diary of a Joe Room.
That's right. You've been featured, yeah?
We've been slowly building up. I've got my camera here. If you two, like the listeners, don't get the benefit, but you two can see a preview of the next one, because I've been putting up my shelves for the Terradrome and the two sub-basements that are going to be involved in it.
Nice.
Yeah, and actually that's the main thing I'm picking up this year is just pieces, scenery pieces, basically, to decorate the sub-basements.
Okay, so we've had a chance to start the day off. You've been to all these, obviously. This is my second one on site. This is your first one, Greg.
Yep.
How's it look today? I mean, how's it turn out? What's the attitude like out there?
The attitude's great, but we did an early... we let people in early yesterday and some people early today. We did an early registration that I think killed a little bit of the enthusiasm in the line. Like last year, forcing everyone to wait till 9 o'clock, you could feel a little bit more of the tension building.
Yeah, Greg.
And that worked in our favor. I mean, people are probably happier that they're letting in, but from a con, you know, one of the guys with the con, I kind of liked the feeling outside when people aren't as happy.
Greg let us down. He was supposed to be the man in line.
I was out there at 7:30, and I groggily stumbled downstairs, and I got in line, and then Mike came out about 10 minutes later and started handing out wristbands, and then you guys all, everyone's like, he's like, oh, you guys can go inside. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I better just go back to bed.
But beyond that, like, we've got Ron Rudat here. Ron Rudat's brought his Blastoff DVD, which is kind of a retrospective on the making of the G.I. Joe Real American Hero line. They're available for purchase. I'm very excited to get mine. James Cavanaugh is releasing his guide to the second generation.
Friend of the program.
I think people are seeing his glare.
Glare. Now, we're also running a webcam going on here, so kind of showing this off. Let you guys talk. I'll go see if I can find Tristan. We'll get him on the phone.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk to Ron yet, but he's got his Q&A coming up in about 15 minutes, and that's probably the thing I'm most excited about this year. And so James Cavanaugh and Mark Blamo each have their own G.I. Joe guides that are out, so that's pretty awesome. And something that surprised us today, Hasbro showed up with 9 sets of the canceled G.I. Joe cycle armor and his attack scout for door prizes.
You guys didn't know about that ahead of time?
We did not know about it. That's
awesome.
We do not have access to it. We can't just say, well, let's just give away 4 of them and keep one each for the staff. No. We've already given away two sets. One to someone who's here for his first time, which was exciting.
That's fantastic.
We just got a lifelong fan. And the second to perennial contest winner, John S.
Nice.
Board member John S., he wins 3 or 4 prizes every year. And he whispered to me that he might redonate his attack scout for auction, which was really nice of him. I think he feels bad because every time he wins, I rag on him. But no, it is extremely cool that he's willing to give back the his attack scout because he only wanted the armor cycle, and I don't blame him.
That's very nice of him. So we have the one room with all the trading going on, and then we also have the room behind us. That's where the Q&As and all the interviews are going.
The room behind us is kind of the headquarters, so it's where the staff gets to go and mingle. There's the Q&As are going on. Well, I don't know why I'm pointing at stuff. But yeah, the Q&A are going on in a special conference room.
Okay.
It's where we had the Larry Hammer and Zach Hoffman last year, where we have Ron Rudat, the Hasbro, and eventually the Joe Canuck staff later today.
Very cool. Speaking of Rudats, you are Tristan Rudat, is that correct?
Yep.
I am Greg, by the way.
Greg, nice to meet you.
This is Ryan. He is the podcast. And then Gary, also, he's the one that wrangled you down. So, Tristan, we have the Blastoff DVD with us right now. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It's a feature-length documentary, and it chronicles the entire story of the reintroduction of G.I. Joe in the 3¾-inch format, which, as you know, is in the 80s. But this story really picks up in the 70s. It starts off with sort of where G.I. Joe was at in the 70s, talks a little bit about the adventure team and the transformation from you know, G.I. Joe as a sort of adventurer back into a military hero. And it was quite a struggle, actually. No one wanted to, you know, no one wanted to do a military toy in the late 70s or early 80s. And Hasbro really was pretty reluctant to get back involved in producing G.I. Joe. They had a multitude of reasons. They go into it a little bit in the documentary. But through persistence, mostly my dad's and Bob Prupis as well, you know, they were able to really, you know, push G.I. Joe back into existence. So this covers that, and then it really goes into detail on how G.I. Joe was created, from the original artwork to the sculptors. We have sculptors like Bill Culbertson and, you know, artists like my dad, Ron Rudat, and then we have Larry Hama, who, of course, the story in the comics, and who else we interview? Alan Hasenfeld, the president of the company, so...
Does he still have the elastic bands around his wrist?
Who, Alan?
Alan?
He does, actually.
Awesome.
He did. He's got a very youthful kind of youthful thing going on. So he was real generous, actually. He's one of the only, it's one of the only times he's ever been in, interviewed about G.I. Joe or anything like that. And he's actually a big fan of my dad's. He always, him and my dad had a real personal relationship when they were working at Hasbro, and he would always bring back little gifts from the Orient and stuff. You know, they were always doing doing their things. What are you guys streaming on?
Oh, we're just running the web.
Oh, okay. We'll I do a lot of that kind of stuff. Oh, so this can be streamed later?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it happening now? No. Am I now? Yeah, so that, you know, and then it does cover, it goes, the story follows the story through to the 80s. As you guys know, G.I. Joe was a big hit.
Oh, yes.
Millions. Hasbro literally went from barely making payroll to being a multi-million dollar and then a billion dollar company within like 2 years, 3 years, they were making because of G.I. Joe.
You hear that, robot fans?
There would be no Transformers if it was not for G.I. Joe. That's a fact. It's not a diss. It's, I mean, no, it's a fact. I mean, G.I. Joe and the cash flow that it generated was what allowed Hasbro to purchase the, you know, Takara, and to be able to work with Takara, who was the original creator of Transformers, and then to be able to fund it. Also, My Little Pony. Little sisters out there.
Thanks again, G.I. Joe.
And, yeah, no, so G.I. Joe really, I mean, they really kind of put Hasbro on the map. They took them into the stratosphere, making billions of dollars, you know, a year towards the end of the 80s. And now, through their licensing and all that stuff, they're still making millions. And all because of some, you know, an idea that a few guys wouldn't give up on.
So did you travel around the country to interview all the different people?
Yeah. We went from, like, Texas to, you know, Florida, all over New England as well. We interviewed, here's the guys right here, Greg Bernstein, awesome vehicle designer, Kirk Bazigian, kind of the godfather in some ways of G.I. Joe, the marketing vice president, Larry Hama. We went to New York City to interview him. Actually, funny story, we did Larry Hama's interview and Greg Bernstein's in the same day, and my dad and I both drove from Massachusetts to New York City, interviewed Larry, and then we drove to Voorhees, Pennsylvania, I guess, or New Jersey, Voorhees, New Jersey, to interview Greg Bernstein. We did, like, I think it was 24 hours of traveling in a day. My dad was cooked after that, so was I. Yeah, you want me to drive? Want me to drive? It's like... Yeah. So, we, you know, it was a labor of love, but it was cool for him to get to reconnect on a personal... I mean, he's friends with all these guys, and a lot of them he hasn't seen in 20 years, so...
That's fantastic. This is debut weekend for this.
It is. It is. Absolutely. This is the debut weekend. The DVDs were shipped out, so some folks got them. You just have them now in the mail. But really, to get a copy, you had to come here to the Canada JoeCon.
How else? If I want to get a copy, how else would I get one?
Well, if you want to get a copy of this, you can find us on Facebook, codename Blastoff. But to actually order, just send an email to dusty@gmail.com, dusty.rudat@gmail.com.
And how much?
It's easy. $25 USD, and that's shipping and handling. We ship all over the world. The DVD is in NTSC format, though, so if you're in, like, Japan or something like that, or Europe, you have to talk to me. I think I'm going to make a Belgian copy for a guy. He wants a region 2 or whatever, but it'll play up here in Canada and all over America. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. My dad did all the artwork on the cover. You can see we've gotten a couple compliments. I'm like trying to show your webcam here. Yes, the cartoon. That's done by a French artist, actually. My dad commissioned this piece from a French artist, and it references a story some people know about where when they originally did the Baroness, my dad drew her real sexy, and sort of, you know, kind of voluptuous. And the sculptor really picked up on that, you can see. And, the, you know, Hasbro was like, yeah, no. Yeah, we love it, no. And so they were, they told her, you got to shave down the boobs. And so that's what they did. And so my dad kind of capitalized on that story.
What was it like growing up the son of Ron Rudat?
Oh, well, you know, obviously I love my dad and stuff. And even from a young age, some of my first memories, I can remember him coming home with, like, I remember he came home with the first G.I. Joes, and I was like, what are these? You know, because there was no marketing at that point. There was no backstory. There was nothing. It was just these little guys. And I'm like, well, these are neat. These are cool. And that was it, you know. Same with the Transformers. I remember he brought home a couple Transformers, and I was like, these are so cool. It's like a Lamborghini. I think I had the toy for about a month before I realized there was a robot head in it. And when I saw that, I kind of freaked out a little. I was like, is that a face? And then I was like, Dad, what's up with this? There's a face in this car. And he's like, yeah, I think it makes a robot or something. I don't know what
he
the
didn't
hell.
Explain it.
Yeah,
something.
Didn't explain it. No instructions. No anything. And so from there, it kind of went to, like, me and my friends would play G.I. Joe a lot, obviously. And then, like, it kind of wasn't that big of a deal to me. I just thought, oh, that's what my dad does. He makes these cool things. And I think it really kind of hit me, like, the whole phenomenon thing was, like, when the cartoon was out. And then one of the episodes, they were mentioning my dad by name or whatever. They were talking about Dusty Rudat. And I think that's when it kind of clicked. Yeah, the dirty traitor. Dusty betrays G.I. Joe and joins Cobra. And it was like, for me, that's when it kind of hit me. I'm like, are they talking about us? I'm like, is that my dad? And then they're like, Ronald W. Rudat. Because, of course, on the file card, it's Ronald Tatter. In the cartoon, they turned it into Ronald Rudat. And they're like, what does Dusty's mom think of all of this? And, you know, so that's when I was like, oh, my God, my dad's famous. You know, my dad's done something that's really, you know, impressive. Because someone else had asked me that once before. What's it like, you know, what was it like knowing your dad's a legend? And he really wasn't a legend back then. He was right. Just doing a job, and he would share those toys with us. Of course, we got a lot of the samples, a lot of the free stuff. But a lot of times it came back with no stickers, no instructions, no. It was just kind of like, oh, it was going to get thrown out. So we picked it up. But, I mean, also, I mean, it was great. My dad was always really into, like, Boy Scouts with me and school projects and stuff like that. So even though he's working 15 hours a day, he still took time out to get involved in what we were doing. Obviously, I always had the best Boy Scout flag, you know. Dad, I don't want it to look like a bison, you know.
Was that the Cobra troop?
Yeah, Troop Cobra. Yeah. Now it's, and then, you know, growing up or whatever, you know, he got into a lot of other stuff, wrestling figures, you know, and by the time that was going on, my brother was a huge wrestling fan, so we were going to the WWF events and stuff. And by then I kind of realized, oh, well, my dad's just this total awesome artist. That's just what he does. And it kind of became the thing. And I remember when I was in college, met my best friend, and I saw his action figure collection, and it was just, he's this huge action figure collection. And I was like, oh, you know, I should show you some of my dad's stuff. You really think this is neat? Not thinking like, I mean, I just wasn't thinking in this kind of scope. Now it's all different because I've realized I'm not the only one. It's not just me and my friends that thought Joe was cool, and we're not the only ones that resonated with. There's like millions, literally millions of fans out there who are all our age. And so now I kind of look at my dad more like wow, you've really, you know, doing this film. I mean, there were a couple times I just started crying when I was editing it. I'm like, oh my God, you just like, you did this. This is... It's one thing to make a movie about it or to write about it. It's another thing to actually, you know, take that kind of personal risk and create something like that.
I think your dad definitely enjoys this thing. I think the first convention he went to, at least I remember before, was Dallas.
Yep.
And he was at the round table with Kurt. And the first thing he said is, there was a guy dressed as Ripper.
Yeah.
And he was dressed that the entire weekend. Nice guy. I forget his name. But nice guy. He's like, it's really weird to see one of your creations walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they've come to life, you know. Yeah, no, that guy's great. He's actually in the documentary, if my dad's saying that the same kind of thing. He's like, you know, it's just really interesting seeing this kind of thing. And, you know, then you see the guy and he's standing there and he looks just like him. Like, yeah. He nailed it. And he kind of already looked like him, too.
What's your film background?
Well, I went to film school. I started production in Attleboro High School, making videos, music videos and stuff, and my own little films. And then went to film school at New England Tech, hooked up with the X Games, where I was fortunate enough to be a part of the Emmy Award-winning team there, won two Emmys with the X Games. And from there, I've gone on to work with bands like Motley Crue. I was doing all their design work for their Crue Fest. Did all the LED background. Rascal Flatts, another band I worked with, Buck Cherry. And I was working on the Motley Crue video in Dallas or in Austin, traveling back and forth in Texas. And that's when my dad said, hey, they called me up. They want me to do this convention thing. And so right when I wrapped up with the Motley guys, I went down and met my folks in Dallas. And that's when, I mean, that convention for me was kind of like an eye-opener. That was like, wow, these people know my dad's name. He's signing autographs.
He's nuts.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. But, I mean, I consider myself a huge fan of pop culture, music, movies, and of course, action figures. So I can relate on that tip, definitely.
So we're mostly normal. I mean, there's...
I think everyone here, yeah, very normal.
There's a weird trend of really interesting jobs for Joe fans. A lot of environmental technicians. Like, it's just strange, cool jobs among
yeah,
us.
Yeah, a lot of creativity, too. A lot of guys that, you know, went on to become artists or went on to become a lot of soldiers as well. You know, folks that were yeah. kind of directly... We've had a lot of folks come up. You know, my dad's had a lot of people approach him saying, you know... So that's kind of cool. And then, you know, like just seeing the guy Jason that's next to us with his artwork, you know, seeing some of the stuff he's been inspired by. And I think that's the coolest part, personally, of my dad's legacy, is that it's not just about playing with a toy when you're a kid. It's like you're providing a vehicle of imagination, you know, for kids to project their own imagination into, their own stories. You know, maybe you want the Cobras to be the good guys. Maybe you want it to be, you know, these characters are on one team. And, you know, when I would play G.I. Joe with my brother, I mean, it was kind of like, let's just have a huge war. Let's get as many toys as we can that G.I. Joes are going to be leading the battle because they got the combat experience. And then let's just have a massive war. And I think half the fun was kind of lining up all the guys like this. You kind of line them all up and you kind of spec them all out. And, I mean, for me, that was like a big part of it. How's our webcast going?
Well, the recording looks like it's all right. We're stretching the two mics a little bit. Okay, we got like 2 minutes, I guess. So I just want to say it's cool that it's like people might have the perception that this is just Ron Rudat and his kids tagging along. But the fact that you are a professional Emmy Award winner and that you've been working in the field for so long that like people can expect a high quality documentary here,
oh,
not just something thrown together.
This is easily the most intense project I've ever worked on. I mean, I'm definitely fully coattailing on my dad's success. I mean, my whole life, my dad's phenomenal, phenomenal artist. I'm kind of nerdy filmmaker, but, you know, I poured my heart and soul into this film. I think that anyone who's a true Joe fan will enjoy it. There's maybe some stuff people would like to see more of. I mean, I didn't hold anything back. There's no awesome nugs of great video sitting on my computer. All the best of the best is in this film. So, yeah, but, I mean, I look forward to any kind of, you know, criticisms or feedback, positive, negative. You can find us on Facebook, codenamed Blastoff. Tell everyone how much you hate the music and the editing was a little lame, but that you still love Ron. Just don't come after my dad. I might have to come find you. But, no, hopefully folks will enjoy the film. And yeah.
Well, Tristan Rudat, thanks for showing up. Thanks for coming on the program,
right.
Talking about it.
Absolutely.
We'll be probably Canadian doing a review of it for our next program on Tuesday. It will be posted later this week. So thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gary. Thanks.
All right. This is part two of the What's on Joe Mind's coverage of the Canadian Joe Con in Toronto at the beautiful Toronto Airport Sheridan.
Yes.
Earlier we talked with Tristan Rudat, and now we are joined with P. Love. John, how you doing, man? Welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here. I'm exhausted. It was a long day. Great time, but yeah, I'm tired.
So John drove through the night last night to get here from Maryland, so he is running on fumes like a lot of people are. That's all right. So John, you must tell us just a little bit about Joe Customs.
It's a customizing site dedicated to G.I. Joe customs, although, you know, we're pretty liberal. We like to see customs of all kinds of, you know, the 3 3/4 inch mostly, but anything.
You got a pretty tough crowd there, too, don't you?
Sometimes. I mean, when you customize a lot, you tend to know what you're looking at when somebody shows you something. So, you know, but, you know, a head swap is just as good as something that takes you 3 months to May. You know, we have a wide range of people that customize, so we have a wide fan base of people that look at it and enjoy the customs there.
Very cool. What did you all pick up today from the convention?
Just odds and ends, figures for customs. Somebody gave me a Canadian Triple T to customize with, so that was good. And one of those camouflage troopers that are not made by Hasbro.
That's okay. Yeah, we talk about the non-Hasbro brand stuff.
Was that the Black Major stuff?
Yeah, no, we do Black Major stuff.
Okay, cool.
And it's okay, because when I get to our part of the segment of what we got, unfortunately, I'm going to have to confess I did get two Black Major.
Nothing wrong with that.
They did have quite a few new items I hadn't seen before online. So, yeah, it was there was a lot more I would have gotten if I could.
Of course, yeah, definitely.
All right. Do we want to talk about what we got as long as we're on the topic?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
I picked up the second edition of James Cavanaugh's book, or the first edition, excuse me, of the RAHC guide from him. I figured I was going to wait till the convention because I'd see him in person. And then I also picked up the Operation Blastoff or Codename Blastoff?
Codename Blastoff,
which is the documentary about the beginnings of G.I. Joe. That's done by Ron Rudat and his son Tristan, which I'm excited to take a look at that a little bit later. And then I also picked up the third trade paperback of G.I. Joe Special Missions. Oh, that's right. And
you're forgetting about something very key that might make a certain member of our cast jealous.
Right. This isn't something that I got, actually. This is my girlfriend won from Hasbro Canada, the Black Dragon, which hasn't been released yet. They had a drawing for a bunch of different vehicles, and she was lucky enough to win. So I get to hear into that a little bit later. That'll be fun.
Like the full review.
Yes. So I'm excited to see how that differs from the one that Justin did the review on, because his was kind of pre-production. So we'll see how that turns out. Gary, what did you get?
Well, see, I got two Black Major items. I got a Vaser, and a Vasor, however you want to say it, and the White Mortal. And also got I got the DVD, which I'll watch probably on the plane back or tonight or something, and we'll do a review on it on Tuesday when we do our regular recording. Of course, the convention set, a couple of the convention T-shirts, which are pretty high quality, really nice. And that's some Pursuit of Cobra. That's the single figures that were branded in multi-language, something you just don't see. You know, interesting add to the collection. That's about it. Didn't spend a lot this time. Just not a lot in the want list. Just here to kind of hang out.
So both of you guys have been to the Canadian convention before, right? You've been up here with last year?
Yeah, I came up last year. I did one figure for last year's set, and I helped with a trace route for this year's set. Just because I'm one of the few people that's stupid enough to take on 100-something figures and paint. Yeah, so I'd come anyway. This is just a great show, great location kind of thing.
So was last year at the same location, or was last year in Hamilton?
Last year's was here. Before then, it might have been in Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton. Yeah.
So how is this year compared to last year for attendance and vendors and stuff like that?
I think it was... I just remember there were like more people in costumes last year. I thought the sales floor had a few more tables. I'm not sure, but as far as attendance, I think it was about the same, except for the long line. The line last year, when it's a visual, I'm sorry for a podcast, but it went down to the other side by the end doors down at the end of the hall, where this year, this morning, 9 o'clock, it stopped, you know, pretty much just in front, maybe like 50 people waiting out front, where last year it was close to like 200 people trying to get in.
I wonder if part of that might have been the pre-orders that he did this year with the 25 sets, and then with handing out the wristbands. I know things are a little bit different, but I'm not exactly sure.
They've handed out the wristbands before. But, yeah, I think I was talking with a couple of the planners, and they said that the 25 pre-order probably took away from kind of the, you know, what we were going to initiate you on standing in the line overnight. You know, you wussed out on us. But no, but there was, gosh, it was – 2-3 in the morning, and there were about 2 dozen people out there. And we'll run that interview that James did with some of those people. We'll edit it into the program.
Awesome.
2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You guys did doing
yeah, he went. James got out there, and he's holding my phone, and it's just like a microphone. We're doing recording, and he's like, "Hey, you want to do an interview with What's on Your Mind?" This one guy's like, "No," and he goes, "That's awesome," you know.
I can't wait to listen. That sounds great.
So,
what kind of state of mind was James in at that time at 2:30 in the morning?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. Adult beverages were being consumed, but nothing illegal happened. So.
All right, well, that's good.
Remember, he's got to be on his best behavior because he's got to sell the book.
Yes. Which it seemed like every time I walked by, he had a crowd of people talking to him, asking him about the book and stuff like that. So it was good to see the reception of people. People seem appreciative of it, which I kind of figured was going to happen, but it's good to see in person. So that was good.
I did talk to a lot of the vendors and James and Jason Liu, who's did the convention comic, and everybody said they did really well, the dealers and everything. So, I mean, that's good, you know, that everybody got the attention. Ron Rudat's table was, like, swamped pretty much from the get-go and all day long.
Yeah, they were real gracious at their table. Everybody that bought one, they were all sealed, and they unsealed them and opened them up and signed them and everything. They were real, and they had that video running all day long. So I really hope a lot of people get a chance to pick that up, because one part is knowing the history, the other part's documenting it and passing it on. So you know, we know how all this stuff came to be. And we did get the skinny this morning from Tristan that, you know, if it wasn't for Joe, Transformers wouldn't be here. So
you're welcome.
and you guys saw the original Cobra symbol that they had on display.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was,
that's so cool.
Yeah. A little nerdgasm going on.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about?
Let's see. We'll edit these things together, and we'll eventually put it up. And we really hope that everyone gets to hear this and says, "Hey, you know, I want to come to not just a convention, but definitely make the trip up to Canada and come up to the Canadian convention, because pretty friendly crowd, pretty normal crowd. You know, nothing really weird going on." Yet. Well, not yet. Yeah, there's still tonight, and that's after the con, though, so I guess that really
no
doesn't
comment.
So that's about it. You got any last parting words?
No, that's right. John, thanks for joining us.
We really appreciate you being a big supporter of the program and everything, for sticking our post and everything.
Oh,
we
yeah.
really appreciate
no,
that.
It's a really good podcast.
Oh, wait a minute. Before here's the man.
I'm giving you exactly 1 minute.
You 1 minute?
You've got 1 minute. I'm very busy.
You can say whatever you want. This is going out to the masses.
Well, the wrap-up show, not much to say. No, it was a great show. Everybody had a good time. Everyone seemed to have fun. Everybody seemed to spend a lot of money because that bank machine got emptied 3 times.
Nice, cool. Nice.
And now I'm looking very forward to doing nothing for a month.
So...
A lot of playing Uncharted 2, yes.
It's highly advisable
Uncharted
that...
Uncharted 2 sitting on my porch with my dog and a beer and a barbecue.
Well, it's highly advisable that anyone on Joe Canuck do not email them or PM the mic for anything really over the next...
Yeah, no stupid questions. Normally I'll answer them, but no stupid questions right now.
Which I think, you know, at this point, your level of tolerance is like every question is pretty much going to be stupid, right?
That was a stupid comment.
Yeah.
Are we podcast bombing? What's going on?
Yeah, we're going.
I was podcast.
Did you finally buy your book, or did you win that one?
Scrambles here now.
Okay, here's what happened. So I've got the
Real
American
Thank you.
Hero.
Thanks, Mike.
Second generation O-ring G.I. Joe action figures by James Cavanaugh. I won Mark Bellamo's second edition of his G.I. Joe guide. Morgardi won this one, and Pete the Greek won he won 2 sets of the canceled Alpha Wave. Morgardi wanted the Alpha.
Yay!
Pete was good with the Bellamo guide, and I wanted Kavanaugh guide. And so we all did like a three-way trade. And so we all ended up with what we wanted.
Now this is Dave Morgardi.
Morgardi.
And we just had the Q&A over there. So and yes, you kind of discussed your role. But once again, for those that don't know what your role is with the Canadian JoeCon, what is your role?
This year, well, we were all involved, but it was like... I was the first half of the mule horse for building the concept. That's the quick answer. Would you agree?
Yes, that sounds good.
So, we basically, when the figures arrived, we had to rip them apart and build them, and I was doing the first half or so of the assembly on it. What more do you want?
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I like the story of you went with the green glasses on.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's my ruin. Captain Ruin.
Captain Ruin,
that's
your green
favorite.
Glasses, because you didn't want to do 200 eyeballs.
Exactly. When we don't want to paint eyes at all, and we had this figure that we liked from third-party vendor, and I was looking at it, I'm like, I'm not going to paint all this. So I used epoxy putty, the green stuff, and I had, showed the guys, this is how it can look, do you guys like it? And they're like, yeah, okay, great, let's do it. And I was under the impression that they were going to be silver glasses. But we didn't really discuss it. I just kind of thought, my mentality, silver glasses for everyone. They're almost all, like, blue, I think, in this set. And then Ruin shows up with the finished product, and they're green. I'm like, oh, hey, look at that. They're green.
So who is a supporter of the name The Fallen Angel?
Oh, Lord, it's... Did someone tell you to ask you me about that?
But maybe.
Fallen Angel was my version of Stealth Viper's... Stealth Viper toy from years ago.
Stealth Viper's here.
Yes, he is. I'm pointing at him.
Visually.
He got a figure made, and I was like, that's a great idea.
My original Stealth Viper custom turned into what became Snowbank.
Yes. And so, a couple of years ago, I made a character called the Fallen Angel. And it was just a bazooka soldier with a pit trooper head on it with gray hair painted on and some black tiger stripes on it. And I had the Fallen Angel on the heavy hitters. And I wanted to try to bring one of my personal characters into the mythos of Joe Canuck. So I came forward with the guys. It's like, yeah, I don't mind doing all this work. Just give me a chance to make the Fallen Angel. And for the longest time on the board, he was called TFA. I think everyone had short form names. Like Newbie was Trace Root. The Fallen Angel, that was his holding name. And then it got towards the end. It's like, no, we can't call him Fallen Angel. And me, I'm like, no, he has to be called Fallen Angel. Because I was set on it, and then Jay came up with some Latin version of Fallen Angel. It was like
Runosis something.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't spell that, I can't pronounce that, I can't remember that. So we dropped that down to Ruin, and then we're like, well, we need a rank for him. And then he needed a rank, so it was Captain Ruin. But to me, his real name, here's the inside joke. The character's real name is Francis Allen Angel.
Very clever.
Nice.
So
you worked it in.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
So the Fallen Angel really didn't die. It got reused.
He had some changes. He had some growing pains. But at the end of the day, I think he's a fantastic character. I think it's a good name. I think it's executed well, and we have a guy that looks like an officer in the ranks of the Joe Canuck mythology, and he's fully functional, like totally playable. It's a great toy.
And if I might add,
good
one
work.
Of the ideas we never really pursued, but something I liked, if Fallen Angel's troop builders were to be called the Choir.
Yes. I made a custom. I took my customs out to the car, but I had a custom of a woman in medieval armor and everything.
How dogma sounding.
It's hard to believe this set didn't see the light of day. It really is.
I don't appreciate this, P-Love.
All right.
It's a good set. I mean, you've seen it. What ones do you like? What stands out for you? Let me turn it around. What do you like?
I do like the Ruin. Day one he came out, he was a big hit on the program.
For sure, Ruin's awesome.
I'm an IT guy, so Trace Ruin.
I'm IT as well.
So, I said next year you can bring his brother or twin brother or cousin or whatever,
Don't do the family angle.
NS lookup, so.
we almost had family relations between Valkyrie and Trace Ruin.
Valkyrie...
The longest time they were going to be brother and sister.
Huh. Yeah. Well, and Valkyrie in the Q&A were... You didn't plan it on that way, but the way she looks kind of shiny with the paint job.
Well, not the shiny, but we planned on her being red. That was your brainchild.
Was it?
Yes, I think you were the one that wanted the recruits to be in red.
Oh, maybe.
I'm pretty sure it was your brainchild to make the recruits red, and then when they became knuckleheads, they were going to evolve into to Jay's knuckleheads, so they were white. But when you're a recruit, we were saying, kind of like a Star Trek red shirt. So that's why Trace Route and Valkyrie, and to that extent, what's their commander's name? Takedown.
Takedown
are in red or burgundy.
The the Jason Liu comic was good, too. It's nothing like seeing Sergeant Slaughter eating Timbits.
That's not necessarily Sergeant Slaughter. No. Never identified
by the mustachio.
Someone sharing the identity of, yes.
It was the Inception version of a wrestling drill instructor, I believe.
Yeah, that's what we'll call him, wrestling drill instructor.
Fantastic. We do not want to get in trouble with Hasbro or WWE or whatever. Yeah. But it was awesome. Okay. So, thanks for giving us some extra insight on the set and talking on the program. So I think that's about it for I'm Gary, and we'll check you out. You want to call it out this time?
Sure. If you got any questions or any comments, please comment on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. You can also send us email at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Again, John, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was good. Seriously, listen to their podcast. It's awesome.
And if you're hearing him, you are listening to the podcast, so that's good. All right, thanks, guys.